It's my honor to introduce our guest speaker for these days, Dr. Marva Dawn. And she is here under the auspices of the Augsburger Lecture Series, which is an endowed supported fund set up by former President Dr. Myron Augsburger, whom I see is with us this morning, and his wife, Esther. Myron served as president of EMU from 1965 to 1980. Dr. Dawn serves with a group called Christians Equipped for Ministry, and she does preaching and teaching missions all around the world. Let me give you just a bit of her background. She has been the author of numerous articles and more than 20 books. She holds 4 master's degrees and 1 PhD. So those of you who are beginning your work with master's degrees, got a long way to go to catch up to her. She holds a PhD from the University of Notre Dame, a THM in Old Testament, an MDiv in New Testament, an MA in English, and began with a BA in Theology and English, Church Music, and Secondary Ed. So she not only just gets degrees, she majors in multiple disciplines within each of those degrees. We are delighted that she is here with us from the state of Washington, and she joins us in chapel this morning after having been in several venues here on campus last evening, yesterday, and this morning. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Marva Dawn.
Some of you have been with me before in this series, and so you know what I'm about to say, so you can sleep for half a minute. The rest of you, whom I've not been with, I always begin with 3 things. And these have grown over the years that I've been traveling as a freelance theologian. I always answer that when people ask you on the airplane, what's your occupation? And then they always say, oh, I'm not interested in religion. And then I get a chance to talk to them about the Lord for a while. Which is our subject today, how do we be involved in mission for the sake of passing on God's good news to us. As I told you that topic so that you can do what the 3 things I'm going to tell you. The first thing is a moment of silence. And during that moment of silence, I would like you to think about how you pass on the faith and what that means to you and why that's important in your life and why it's important in God's purposes. Then I want to greet you with the ancient greeting that comes from the book of Ruth in the First Testament. I will say, the Lord be with you, and reach out my hands to you, and I would ask you to answer back, and also with you, and reach out your hands to me. And the reason that I do that is because the name Lord is in all capital letters in your English Bibles, and that stands for the Hebrew 4 letters that are the unpronounceable name of God that we don't say because we don't want to blaspheme God's name. And this name means the covenant God. It's the name that God gave to Moses at the burning bush, which means the I am. And because that God is between us, there's no such thing as speaker and audience. It's just that we're all together as God's community in this place, trying to hear what God is saying and trying to help each other hear God better for what God wants us to do with our lives. So I will say, the Lord be with you, and I want you to answer, and sound like you mean it, please. Answer, and also with you, okay? And then the third thing that we'll do is pray, so that we are reminded of the Lord's presence in our midst. So that was moment of silence, the ancient greeting, and then a prayer, okay? Start with a moment of silence. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you. Let us pray. Gracious God, It is indeed a joy to be gathered here with this community in this place. And most of all, we are grateful that you are here in our midst. Guide us as we listen to your word, so that that word might be deeply embedded in our lives and we might respond to it by joining into your mission for the sake of loving the world, that we might be lovers on your behalf and tell the world about the great good news of your love for us. Thank you for this privilege. Thank you for the joy of singing your praises. Thank you for this beautiful day. We have so much to be grateful for. Let us spread our gratitude in the world. And use us then for the sake of the healing of the world and for praising you as you deserve to be praised into the ages of the ages. Amen. I have a text from 2 Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace to you from the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Then I'm going to skip a few verses because we don't have enough time to look at all these verses. So I'm skipping 3 and 4. Go on to verse 5. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now I'd like to look more closely at this passage because it speaks directly to you. And just for a moment, I'll pretend to be the Apostle Paul. I'll pretend because a long time ago I was at a conference that was entirely Jews and Seventh-day Adventists. And I was the token Lutheran. Actually, I'm a Lutho-man. I'm part Lutheran and part Mennonite. And they teased me and called me Martina Luther. And I had on a hot pink cast on my crippled leg. And pretty soon they started calling me just Martina with the hot pink cast. And then after a little while, they started calling me Paulina Martina with the hot pink cast. It was a pretty funny situation. But I was there to study the Sabbath and keeping the Sabbath holy, which is not my topic for today. But it was an interesting experience to be with them and to be referred to as a Pauline-like person, going around traveling to tell people about Jesus Christ and to invite us all into ministry. And so that's what I would like to do today. I get to be here with you as part of the Augsburger Lecture Series. And this lecture series is devoted to the mission of God in the world and the way that we do evangelism. And I think this text is a perfect way for us to think about it. Because Paul begins by saying that he's an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will. Now, the same could be true of all of us, because the word apostle, remember, means to be sent out. And I believe that just as Paul was sent out in the world, you and I are sent out in the world. We're sent out in different ways, and we're sent to different parts of the world. Some of you work with people in your class. It's because your professor's here. Some of you work with your neighbors in the dorm. Some of you work with your neighbors wherever you live. Some of you work with other people at your job. We all have different locales, and we all run into different people. And so we all have numerous opportunities to talk about the Lord and bear witness to the Lord. Sometimes we do it by words. Sometimes we do it simply by the way we live. I remember one night on an airplane when everybody was mad. I had to be a reconciler because everybody was mad since our plane had been sent back twice, and both times because of mechanical failures, and everybody was furious because it was 2 o'clock in the morning and we still weren't at our destination. And I had to say, wait a minute, people, let's don't be grumpy against the flight attendant and the pilot. After all, they've saved our life twice now. And person came up to me later and said, I'm not a Christian like you are, but I'm grateful for what you did. Because it was important that night that I bring reconciliation to the plane. You never know when you'll be called on. But it was important so that the people weren't so crabby against the poor airlines. They had actually done us a service. And I'm grateful that we landed safely the third time. By then it was 3 a.m. and I had to get up for teaching at 8. I had to teach at 8 o'clock. So I was not real happy myself. But at least we were there safely. Well, I only use that example so that you'll think about it in your own life. You never know when there'll be an opportunity for you to talk about God and to do God's mission in the world. So just as Paul is an apostle sent out by Christ Jesus and the will of God, so also are we. And you might wonder, where's the third person of the Trinity in that? But it's because we recognize through the gift of the Holy Spirit that we are called. We recognize the involvement of all three persons of the Trinity. And we'll see that again later. But Paul says he's an apostle for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. In the Gospel of John, we're given that promise. We're told abundant life in Christ Jesus in John 10:10. Abundant life and eternal life. What a great gift we have in Jesus Christ, as you all know. That's why you're here. And we want to pass on that gift. I get so concerned for those people in our culture, and they are the majority out where I live, people in our culture who think they have no need for God. They think they can just trust themselves. But they're going to discover at some time in their life, like I've discovered because of my health handicaps, I've discovered that I can't rely on myself. And so will we all at some point. And we'll recognize our need for God. And then those who've rejected God all their lives, where will they turn? And so it's valuable that you and I be planting seeds all the time and sometimes watering seeds that someone else already planted so that people know where they can turn and to whom they can turn when they hit rough patches in their lives. So, just as Paul is sent out for the sake of this promise of life, so you and I are sent out for the promise of life. Well, then he addresses Timothy, and here's where the most important word comes, when he says, Timothy, my beloved child. That he was in a deep relationship with Timothy, a relationship that in which he mentored Timothy as Timothy became a pastor. And as he mentored Timothy, Timothy grew in faith and grew in skills for the work that he was called to do. You never know when you might be called to be a mentor, or you never know who might be mentors for you. And I'd like you all to think about that for just a second. Who already has mentored you in your life? Maybe it was your mother or father. Maybe it was a particular professor here. Maybe it was your Sunday school teacher or your pastor back home. But we've all had many mentors in our lives, even as Paul served for Timothy, people who have modeled for us the Christ life. One of my favorite models was my choir director when I was in college, because we had the privilege of singing in a choir concert around the world. We literally went completely around the world. We sang in Asia, we sang in China, in Japan, in Korea, in Thailand, where we did a command performance for the king. That was quite exciting. And we even sang in India for 10 days, and in Greece, and in Lebanon, and in the Holy Land for 5 days. And finally we came back to Paris and from there to New York City. We'd left from Hawaii. So we'd spent an entire summer going all the way around the world singing the gospel. Why it was so exciting in Thailand is that there's a protocol you have to follow if the king is in the audience. And we had to all be on the stage before the king came in, and because no one is allowed to leave the theater or enter the theater when the king comes. And then we sang the Thai national anthem, which is all about Buddha. And then we sang 2 hours of Christian music. And it was such a joy, because at the end of the concert, we had to go to the back of the theater and be back there when the king came down from his balcony seat. And he was going to shake some of our hands. And he came right up to me and he said, "I could tell from your smile while you were singing that you really believed what you were singing about." And I thought that was so exciting. There it was, a smile that spread the gospel. And the next winter, when we divided up where we had been and to whom we wanted to send Christmas cards, I picked King Rama IX. And I wrote to him in Christmas card and said, "I'm sure you don't remember me, but I was the one to whom you came and said such and such and such." And then I told him about Jesus Christ at Christmas and how I wished him the joy of Jesus Christ as he celebrated the holidays in Thailand. It was an exciting opportunity. It's the only time I've ever had a chance to witness to the king. But I get to witness about the king all the time. And what's key is this relationship to Timothy, my beloved child. And Paul was that way with all the people whom he served, that he equipped them for ministry, and he told them about the good news of the gospel, always with that same loving spirit. And then he goes on, grace, mercy, and peace. What a trio of treasures. Grace always reminds us of God's ready forgiveness when we make mistakes or when we're hesitant, when we delay in talking to someone about the Lord. When we have a chance, we can confess our sins, and God is ready and just to forgive those sins. Grace is the fullness of God's love that always stands there. I think it's a really important thing to remember in our lives, because sometimes we get discouraged because we haven't really been living for the Lord. But God's grace is always there, inviting us to come back to Him and to know again the fullness of His love. Mercy we all need. I need mercy, I kid around, because I have so many handicaps. People have to help me walk straight. That requires a lot of mercy on people's parts. And many of you have been helpful to me in times when I haven't been able to see because I'm blind on one side and can't see out of the other, or I can't walk because I'm crippled in both legs for different reasons. But anyway, when various people have helped me as I've been going around on the campus here, I see examples of the mercy of God. Grace, mercy, and peace, that only true peace can come from God, and how desperately that's needed in our world, especially for those of you who are Mennonites. That's why I call myself a Lutho-men, because I grew up in the heritage of being Lutheran, but I added Mennonite to my list of what I belong to, because I think it's so important to be peacemakers in our troubled world. And we run into opportunities for that all the time. You never know when everybody's going to be mad on your airplane, and you'll get to be a reconciler. But many of you have already had practices in working for peace and justice in the world. Maybe you've participated in various workshops for peace, or done events for peace, or worked in the inner city for the sake of peace. You're really good at it. And we know that these gifts, this trio of treasures, as the text goes on to say, comes from God the Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord by the power of their Spirit. So the triune God confers those gifts. And as we talk about them, we realize that our understanding of those gifts comes to us by the gift of the Holy Spirit. So even though the Holy Spirit isn't mentioned, the Holy Spirit is there. Well, then I had to skip two verses because I know I'm not going to have enough time. Oh dear, I'm not. So let's go on to verse 5. When Paul says, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith." And then he goes on to say, this faith first lived in your grandmother and your mother. Did you gain your faith from your family? Did you learn your faith from your parents? I did from mine, and I am so grateful that I grew up in a Lutheran home where my dad was actually principal of the Lutheran school. My brothers and I used to tease that it wasn't school we couldn't stand, it was the principal of the thing. But my mother was also a devout Christian, and I remember how they took us to worship and enabled us to learn about God. We talked about God at home, especially when Dad would talk about matters about the school and so forth. I'm so grateful for my upbringing, and I would encourage you to be thankful for your parents, or perhaps your grandparents, or maybe it was an aunt or uncle or older brother or sister, whomever it was that you recognize brought the faith to you. I hope that you can be extra grateful for them this morning. And then Paul stresses that faith lives in you. We want to make sure we don't have secondhand faith, that it's our own faith. Because, you know, God doesn't bring grandchildren into heaven. He brings his own children into heaven. So we are called to make sure that that sincere faith is ours. And that's why Paul goes on to say, for this reason, kindle afresh the gift that is in you. I would guess that almost all of you in this sanctuary are baptized, and that in your baptism, the gift of the Holy Spirit was given to you. And so you all have various spiritual gifts. And I don't know what your gifts are because I don't know all of you. I know the gifts of one person in this room because I've met him before, and that's Dr. Nofziger. And I have been with him at other speaking engagements, and I love the way he leads music. Now, I don't have that ability. I can sing, and I used to play several instruments, but I'm not at all gifted like he is. And in the same way, each one of you in this room has your own special gifts that God has given to you. And a lot of times we can be helpful to each other, and in that way, kindle afresh the gifts that are in us. By our own reading of Scripture, by our own study and prayer, we kindle afresh the gifts that are in us. And especially by using our gifts. Maybe you have the gift of being hospitable. Maybe you have the gift of welcoming somebody into your home or into your life. Maybe you have the gift of being a good cook. That's not my gift. Being visually impaired, I don't cook very well at all. And so if you have that gift, I'm glad for you. And praise God that you can serve people that way. Maybe you have the gift of being able to raise money. That's a very important gift in the church because we need to raise money for the sake of feeding the hungry of the world. We need to raise money for the sake of doing justice in the world and bring God's grace, mercy, and peace to those who are in poverty. So whatever your gifts are, I've just named a few, and you know there are multiple gifts. The Bible only lists 18, but they're always listed in representative groups so that we know there's skillions of gifts. And in case any of you are mathematicians and want to know how big a skillion is, it's a Googleplex power. That's how big. I always say that because a friend of mine who's a mathematician bawled me out for saying skillions. But what I mean is God has gifts for every one of us. And Paul encourages us to kindle it afresh. And we do that by getting to know better what our gifts are. And when our friends tell us, you know, you're good at this or you're good at that, to recognize that it is a special spiritual gift of God that was given to us for the sake of serving God. And then we can more boldly use those gifts in order that God's word might be spread throughout the world. And that's why I love the last line in this text, that we're not given a spirit of timidity, that we're really cowards if we don't use our gifts. And we don't need to be cowards because we're serving God. The world might mock us, Our friends might tease us. You might talk to someone about the Lord and they might say, "Oh, I don't care about that right now." And yet you've planted a seed that will bear fruit who knows when. But you have indeed been faithful in planting the seed. So we don't have to be afraid. It's God's work and it's God's mission and it's God's person to whom we want to invite to come into a relationship with God. So it's no need for cowardice. We don't need to be timid. We've got enormous power in our hands. The power of the Word of God. And the Word of God, as is promised us in several places in Scripture, never comes back empty. God's Word will always bear fruit. My dad, I told you, was a principal of a school and taught eighth grade. And he had a kid in his eighth grade who was kind of a rowdy, misbehaving kid. And Dad really wondered about him when he left the school. 38 years later, he came back and apologized to my father and said, "I want you to know I remember those things you taught me about God. And I want you to know that I'm a Christian now." 38 years it took. So we never have to give up hope. The Word of God is powerful. The Christian life carries that power. So you can not be afraid no matter whom you're with. If you're with the friendly local atheist who pokes fun at you all the time, yet you've got the strength of God in your hands. But the next word is the most important. We've got a spirit of power and love. It's love that wins. It's not superior arguments. It's not that we can out-intellectualize somebody else, the friendly local atheist around. It's that the world needs love. And when you and I invest our lives in loving the world, what a spectacular thing it is, because so many people are desperate for love these days. You know that technology removes us a lot from people. People just email each other but never hear each other's voice and never talk face to face and don't know the power of hugs. But we as Christians can invest ourselves for the sake of other people's lives. And that's why the last element is self-control. Self-control kind of goes over everything so that we always remember our service is for the sake of the other person. Our service is to the glory of God. Who knows? You in this room could change the world because God's work is that powerful and God's love is that rich and that desperately needed. So it's a great command for us this morning, isn't it? It gives us the possibility to go from this chapel and be ready to proclaim God's love wherever we go, whether we do that by word or deed. The goal is that we be a beloved child of God. And out of that belovedness, we are filled with love for the world around us. So I dare you to go out and see what happens when you exercise your power and love and self-control for the sake of the gospel. Let us pray. Triune God, thank you for each person in this room and his or her gifts. Give us now that spirit of boldness so that we don't go with timidity and cowardice, but that we go in the strength of your love, so richly given to us, that we might freely be your servants for the sake of the world. We live in such a troubled world. Even here in the United States, there's so much conflict in which we can be reconcilers. For the sake of our neighbors and friends and acquaintances, may we be bold witnesses to your gospel good news. Thank you for the privilege of hearing that news today. So now send us out for the sake of the healing of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we've received the charge anew, And so go today pondering these things in your heart and talking with one another so that the fruits may come forth.